are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, today we are coming to an end of our four-part series on this leadership and EQ segment, which we've been running with Coach Mucha Mlingo. And we conclude with a lesson on driving result, which is the focus of any good leader. If you're going to be a leader, you got to be end goal oriented. So do join us as we discuss this beautiful subject. And I'm hoping that if you've missed the other ones, you can always visit our website, SID Media. You can visit our app, Adventist World Radio, SID Media. You can visit iono.fm, search for Adventist World Radio, SID Media, and just go under the Maranatha Drive tab and you'll be able to catch whatever segment you might have missed. 404, good afternoon, Mucha, and welcome to that segment.
Good afternoon. Nice to be back again.
Trusting.
And to interact with you today.
Thank you
so much. In
Summer's
absence.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Derek here. Thank you for joining us and thank you for being with us for the past couple of episodes. And as we wrap it up, we're truly excited and can't wait to see what is in store for us.
Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. So we've been talking leadership. And if as a leader, you're not delivering result, what's the point, right? But the question still stands, is it all about the bottom line though?
So it is about the bottom line.
Okay.
At the end of the day, organizations have results that they need to drive. But I think the difference is how we get this bottom line,
mm-hmm.
right? And so leaders with emotional intelligence recognize that the people they are leading are people. They are human beings. And they are not just a resource that you're using to get the end result you desire. Mm. And so it's more about the how that you drive results as opposed to the fact that, you know, you're not driving results.
Okay.
If you've listened to our series, we've mm-hmm. talked about some of the key elements of leadership as it pertains to emotional intelligence. And it's all leading us to this final conclusion that when we are leaders who are empathic, as we talked about before, leaders who cultivate psychological safety and build trust, we can drive results. We can drive bottom investing in developing mm-hmm. these skills, because when we do that, we actually get sustained.
Fascinating, fascinating. We actually get sustained. And I think, like you're saying, in the previous sessions, we had covered a bit of this, that sometimes leaders think it's just about the bottom line, such that they abuse the employee. But as an EQ leader, that is not the point, right? You're saying you want to get there with the best of your team. So you're driving them in that regard.
Talking about 100%.
Talking about emotional intelligence, this EQ, how does it come into play when we're talking delivering results? Because sometimes you, as an empath, like you're saying, you're empathetic to the staff, you're empathetic to the team you're working with. Sometimes people kind of get used to that and you become a bit too familiar as a leader, such that they take advantage of you and they're no longer focusing on driving results. They know, if I can just go say 1, 2, 3 to boss Mucha, she will let me go home, you know. How do you balance that with still driving results and how do the two fit in together?
So I think for me, what I'm learning as a leader is that empathy must come hand in hand with accountability.
Okay.
So I can be empathic, which means I put myself in your shoes, mm-hmm. consider your perspective, try and understand where you're coming from, but that does not get you off the hook, right? So the goal is we then figure out a way forward that supports you, bearing in mind where you're coming from, but ultimately gets us to where we need to go to.
Yeah.
And I think that is the missing piece because unfortunately, many leaders assume empathy means that it's all about giving people that space. It's all
whatever
about
they need.
Putting yourself in their shoes. It's all about giving them, I don't want to say giving them a pass, but you know what I mean? It's a softly approach, but not true. Empathy works hand in hand with accountability.
Mm.
And when we hold people accountable, they then have that respect for you as a leader and understand that, yes, it's true. When I have a challenge, Mucha is going to hear me out. When I have a challenge, Mucha is going to do as much as she possibly can to help me navigate that challenge. But she's not going to release me of the expectation
that
is before me.
And I think perhaps, and maybe that's hoping too much, but I feel like if you come across as genuine in that approach, really empathetic and really feeling for whoever you're working with, but still holding people accountable, you come across as genuine. And when people really want to work for someone who is genuine and they stop taking advantage, they actually feel bad if they were coming into that kind of thing. And they think twice, you know, before they bring that excuse to say, is this a good enough reason to bring, you know, and they really want to perform because they know you're putting out an atmosphere that is saying, hey guys, we're in this together, and if you've got a genuine reason, I'm ready to listen.
I think 100%.
I don't know, maybe I'm being too
no, you're so right. So earlier today we have a program we run once a month called the EQ Lunch and Learn. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. I was hosting a conversation earlier today over lunch.
Okay.
And one of my panelists actually said something that was quite profound, very much aligned to what you're saying. He, when I asked him, coincidentally, we were speaking about empathy as well. And when I asked him if he has any examples of experiencing and working with an empathic leader and what impact it had, he talked about an experience with a boss. And this is someone who works in sales, right? And sales can be a very dog environment. And he talks about a leader who was interested in him as a person and genuinely interested, right? And because of this genuine interest, connecting with, making sure you're okay, finding out about you outside of work, outside of your numbers, he says he felt driven to do more for her, to make sure that she shone when she was interacting at the higher levels where she did.
Yeah.
So yes, it's true. I mean, there are those people who are soulless, who will try and take advantage of everything. But for most people, when you work with a leader who is empathic, one who gives you the room you need, but does not allow you to walk all over them, you are motivated.
Yeah.
It sparks some intrinsic motivation in you. And so you're motivated to actually achieve the results. And it's a more sustainable approach, to be honest with you, because the idea of the carrot and the stick, it doesn't work anymore, right? It does not drive sustainable results.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And the carrot and the stick requires you to be constantly there, constantly, you know,
micromanaging,
whipping, or constantly offering this carrot.
Mm.
But you know, that's not sustainable leadership, right? Sustainable leadership is one where you create an environment where you spark intrinsic motivation.
Okay.
And when you spark intrinsic motivation, then people are motivated internally to achieve results. And so you're able to get... Yeah, you're able to drive that bottom line.
Yeah.
Which is important for you as a leader. I mean, as a leader, you do need to deliver results.
Certainly. I mean, that's what you're being based on, right? That's how you measure on results. You're not measured on the work. You're not an employee, quote unquote. You're measured on what you've managed to have the team achieve as a result of that. I want us to maybe also consider this idea that... When you do these kinds of things and you succeed in them, as a leader who has done that, what kind of framework, what mindset do you possess? I'm just trying to think of because remember, like I just said, as a leader, you're not coming through as the one who does the actual work. You're motivating the team and strategizing and putting things in place and helping the team to see the vision and achieve that. When you're done and you've gotten the results, I'm just trying to see the frame of mind that the leader must possess, especially from an emotional intelligence perspective. Am I satisfied? Am I patting myself on the back? Am I saying I did that and I'm getting a bit of a pompous chest? I don't know. What should be the mind of that EQ leader once the results have gotten in?
I think that at the heart of effective leadership from an emotional intelligence perspective is self-awareness. And self-awareness means that you are regularly checking in with yourself. And success can go to your head. I mean, we're humans at the end of the day as leaders, and success can definitely go to your head.
Yep.
And so it's really important that you put in place structures that allow you to remain grounded, right? So as you're driving for success, as you're delivering these results, you don't rest on your laurels. You are constantly looking for ways to grow. I was having a conversation with another client, and I was so excited because they mentioned that they wanted us to come in and support them on rolling out an emotional intelligence initiative across the firm.
Okay.
And yet this is an organization where they are currently sitting at 97% of employee engagement. So they are not waiting for their employee engagement to be low before they start rolling out EQ.
Yeah.
And this is what successful leaders do. They understand that even when we are in a positive space, because 97% levels of engagement is pretty amazing for an organization. Many organizations float around the 50% mark, right? And engagement levels are indicative of how committed the team is, which is a positive, right? But they are saying, hey, this is where we are, yes, but we can still improve. So I think when you talk about a framework, number one, do the work of self-awareness. So that means doing regular check-ins to ensure that you are connected with, you know, who you are, how you're showing up at the moment. Number two, always have benchmarking. Always have people around you that are doing better than you, so that you never feel as though, oh, I'm the one. You know, too often as leaders, we surround ourselves with people who we are better than.
Yeah.
So and we compare ourselves to people who we are better than. So that makes us feel as though we're the king of the castle.
Hey,
what we should do is focus upwards, right? Mm. Always have around you people who are pulling you to be even more and do even more. Mm. And then I think number three, in terms of a framework, if you are doing it right, you're cultivating an environment of openness and open feedback. So the team can actually tell you and speak to you and maybe sometimes pull you down from your castle in the sky every once in a while.
Yeah, to say, hey, come back to reality.
Exactly.
That's so true. Now, I don't know, Mucha, perhaps you might have covered this with Zama, but when you talk about empathy, and it's good that you're an EQ coach and this is what you focus on, not just on leadership, is it something that can be learned? I mean, when you look at leaders, natural leaders, quote unquote, if there is such a thing, usually they're choleric by nature, bossy and almost aggressive sometimes and so forth. And that kind of temperament hardly has EQ as a strong suit. Is empathy something that can be learned? Can you find yourself putting it up and being coached by Mucha, the EQ coach, to care, or you just have to pretend as though you care and maybe get your secretary to say, hey, boss, hey, let the people know it's time. I don't know.
You know, we say fake it until you make it, but empathy is not one of those things you can fake it till you make it. Those people can tell when you're faking empathy. So empathy is a skill. It's not a trait.
Okay.
Right. So if it's a skill, it means everyone can learn.
All right.
We can all learn to develop greater empathy. And empathy is just about being interested in people. Right. There's no rocket science to it. It's just recognizing that your people are people. They are human beings. They have lives outside of the workplace. And it's being interested and curious in that. And that's a skill we can all develop. Right. There will be some of us where it comes naturally, 100%. And there will be some of us where it's a lot harder because we tend to be a little bit more self-absorbed.
True.
And so we have to remind ourselves. Right. You'll be surprised to note that empathy doesn't come naturally for me. I am not a natural empath.
Okay.
I have actually had to learn empathy. Right. I'm more practical in nature. I'm more goal oriented.
Yeah,
I'm more goal focused. And unfortunately, people who tend to be goal focused, end result focused, we can forget about the people who are taking us to that end.
Yeah.
So my EQ journey has been amazing for me because it's working on the one area that is not my strength. So I have to remind myself to stop before a meeting starts. I want to dive into the agenda. Take a breath, Mucha. Connect with the people. How is everyone doing? Those 5-10 minutes we spend genuinely interested in others actually help the work to move forward. So I have to work on that. So yes, empathy is definitely a skill. I want to just quickly, I don't know how much time we have, but I want to quickly touch on something you said, which I thought was really important to highlight. The world has positioned leadership and defined it or described it in a certain way.
Okay.
That this is what leadership looks like, right? That type A personality, the extrovert.
Yeah.
But I think that that's not necessarily the case.
Maybe
any
in the older
personality
days,
type can be a leader.
True.
Right. And I think one of the things that we're trying to debunk in when it comes to leadership is this idea that there's a certain type of leadership that's better. I think that all leaders bring something to the table. And for each of us as leaders is to just identify what are our areas of strength? How can we leverage those strengths, right? And then what are the shadow that our strengths can cast? So for me, who is an extrovert, how do I leverage my extroversion?
Yep.
But how do I make sure that it doesn't overpower those I'm leading? And for someone who is an introvert, how can they leverage their introversion? Yep. Because there's benefits to being an introvert. And how can they make sure that that introversion doesn't, the shadow that it casts doesn't negatively impact the team?
Fascinating. And people thought coaching was not a real thing. I see you flossing them, which I see you. I see you. Which maybe before we wrap up for our session today, talk to us a bit, maybe just a recap. We've had 4 weeks at this, and maybe just to touch on what we've been through, just to give us a refresher as we then wrap it up and call it a day.
Yeah, sure. So we've been talking about all things EQ and we've focused on leadership, right? And I think one of the first things I talked about is the idea that as leaders, emotional intelligence is not a nice to have. It's a critical skill.
Certainly.
We started off with talking about psychological safety. No. Psychological safety was the second topic. Sorry, let me scroll back. So we started off with leading with empathy, right? And that was just really kicking things off and explaining the fact that at the end of the day, when we are empathic, we drive results. And often people think empathy is being soft, but we debunked that. It is not being soft. Empathy is driving results, but it's how you do it.
Yeah.
And like we said already today, recognizing that people are people and they're human beings. We talked about psychological safety. Psychological safety is creating an environment where your people feel safe to speak up, to push back, to ask questions, to make mistakes. And when that happens, we get better out of our teams. We get people delivering and working up, you know, working harder.
Yeah.
We get more of the discretionary effort of our people, right? When we cultivate that psychological safety. And all of these things are things that we can all learn to do. Then we talked about building trust, right? Trust is one of the biggest drivers of performance. A research study done by Six Seconds found that trust is the biggest contributor, one of the biggest contributors to performance. So, you know, these things sound like soft things. They sound like soft, but they are not. At the end of the day, they are all driving us to the conclusion we had today, which is on driving performance.
Yeah.
That these soft things actually get you the hard bottom line result that you are looking for. And that's why emotional intelligence is so key.
It is so key indeed. Mucha, let's appreciate you. Thank you so much, man, being with us
Thank
a couple
you.
Of weeks repeatedly. That dedication is appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks for having me.
Only a pleasure. There we have it, my dear friends. Mucha Mlingo joining us this past couple of weeks, talking to us on the Maranatha Drive as an EQ coach. Mucha is an emotional intelligence coach, a certified Six Seconds EQ practitioner, award-winning international keynote speaker and master facilitator and trainer. And like I was saying earlier on, people thought coaching was a scam. Why don't you visit muchamlingo.com and have that thought analyzed.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.